If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be here in your house this morning. God, I know that we're missing a lot of family this morning, a lot of people traveling, a lot of people on vacation, different things, God. And God, I pray that you'll put your hand of safety on them, God, and I pray that you'll be with them, God, and I pray that you'll bring them back here to us safely, God. And God, I know that we have family in our presence this morning, God, that may have broken hearts, maybe some that got some bad news this week, some different things, but God, we know that you're still in control of all of those. God, we pray that you'll just touch in an amazing way. Now, God, as we get into your word, God, I pray that you'll take your word and speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you'll help me to preach the message that I feel that you've laid on my heart. God, I want to thank you for the excitement that I have in my heart to be here this morning. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as King of their life, as their rescuer. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. This week, if you've turned on the TV, if you've listened to radio, if you've done anything much at all, there has been a discussion that's been had several times this week, and it's been an ongoing discussion and maybe a highlight in the news. And y'all know that I try not to get very political while I'm in the pulpit because we all have different political views. But I want to talk to you about something this morning that may be on the edge of being on that political side. This week, every time that I've turned on the TV there at work and maybe walked to the back to get a cup of coffee, every time that I have done that, there has been the discussion of the separation of families of the illegal immigrants that are coming into our country. We have an awesome country, and I don't blame anybody in the world for wanting to live in the United States of America. I don't blame them at all. Not at all. I'm glad that God blessed me with the opportunity to be born in the United States of America. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have, the freedom of worship, that there's so many great opportunities that was given to me when I was born here. Now that we have people in other countries who are now coming into our country, and there's so many different things that come into play when you have that going on, but this week, one of those just showstopper things that have happened has been this revealing to everybody. Man, I tell you what, without internet and social media and everything, I don't know what we'd do anymore. We'd probably be happy once again. But with all of this going on, and we've seen this discussion of these families being broken up when they come into our country illegally and they're caught at the border or whatever, this has been an ongoing discussion. And again, I don't blame them for wanting to be here, but let's do realize as American citizens that we have laws and that anybody that's here needs to abide by our laws. I want to go ahead and recognize that this morning. And also, I want to recognize that even though I don't blame anybody for wanting to come into our country, that when they come into our country, that they sooner or later should become self-sufficient and no longer a burden to you and I and to our system. So I want to go ahead and put that out there. That's my political view this morning. That's about as far as political as I'm going to go. But as you look at this, and as I begin to watch some of these news stories this week, and I begin to see these families coming into our country, and they showed the pictures, the heartbreaking pictures of these children that were being taken away from their parents, and their parents maybe being sent back and them taken to a facility. Man, how that broke my heart, and how you look and you see how pitiful that really is. How pitiful it is that moms are brokenhearted because their children have been taken out of their arms. You can see the dads fighting for their children and fighting for their families. You see the siblings that are just scared to death because now they have been separated from the rest of their family. And man, that is so sad. And even though that we have laws that we have to abide by in our country, I also believe that any time that it is possible that we should prevent this from happening. But this morning, as we look at this discussion, as people are coming into our country and they're being separated, and it's so heartbreaking, and there's been such an uprising, and there should have been action taken, and I'm glad that there's been action taken on this. But as we look at this, and it has been the talk of the news, and everybody's talking about it, and this and that, and everybody is so concerned about this separation that is going on, I want to take you to some scripture in Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 31. Now I want to go ahead and get this straight, that this is not like the great white throne judgment. This is like at the second coming of Christ, after the tribulation. So this scripture does not necessarily just go right in to us effectively, but it's some good scripture to, to kind of drive the point home that I felt like God had given me this week. So in Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 31, the Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other." Do you notice what he said? "And he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This week, as the discussion has been a separation, and it has been the separation of these families and these people that are coming into our country, and as you look, and it is such a sad and a pitiful and an awful situation that they're in. But I want you to know this morning that I wish that it is that we as Christian people, and that we as people who love God, and people who God has given the opportunity and the responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ, I wish that we would take as serious the separation that's going to come on the other side. Now, I know this morning we have already been talking about being reunited with our family who are already in heaven. We have talked about the opportunity that we're going to have to see our loved ones who are already in heaven. But I also want you to know this morning that if people do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that there is also the opportunity for a great separation. There is also when I say an opportunity, it is a guarantee that if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that there is going to be a separation from the people who have accepted Jesus Christ. As we look into God's word here, and he's talking about separating the sheep from the goats, and again, these are the people who have come through the great tribulation, but I want you to know that the Bible tells me that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And when I stand before God, when I lay this body down, the way that I lay it down here is going to be the way that I stand before God. There's not going to be a space of grace for me between death and judgment. There's not going to be a place for me to go and to live right and to do right and to hopefully make things right with God. But I want to tell you this morning that when I die and when I stand before God, the way that I lay it down here is going to be the way that I stand before God. And I want to tell you this morning that as we look here and we see how pitiful it would be for a youngin to be jerked out of your arms, how pitiful it would be for a dad to be fighting for his family, or a mother who is brokenhearted that just lost one of her children because they had to be separated. I want to tell you this morning that there are going to be people at the judgment of God that are going to be separated. There's going to be families separated. There's going to be kids who haven't reached the age of accountability yet. And the Bible tells us that they're going to go right on into heaven, and there's going to be dads who have been good dads, who have worked and provided, but have never accepted Jesus Christ, and they're going to be separated from their children. They're going to be moms who have done everything that they could for their children. They have been sure that they had the clothing, they have had the food. In some cases, they were the providers for the family. That's going to be separated from their children. There's going to be husbands who believed in Jesus Christ, and the wife didn't, and they're going to be separated. I'm going to tell you this morning that there's going to be a separation one day if people do not come to know Jesus Christ. Now, this week, we have been all concerned about this separation, and I'm glad. It is only humane, and it is only, I hope that if you don't have a consideration, if you don't have a heart for people who are going through this, then you better check up and make sure that you're right with God, because I believe the love of God will put you in a place to where you go, man, I just don't like to see this. But as we come to that and we get so concerned, and we get so concerned that even the President of the United States, he goes and signs executive orders to try to start changing that. I want to tell you this morning that we have neighbors who are living beside of us that are lost, they're dying, and they're on their way to hell. And if we don't do something, and I know only Jesus Christ can save them, but if we don't do something to point them to the cross of Christ, then we are going to be standing in almost in a responsible state of them being separated from each other there at judgment. What are we doing as Christian people? Man, something's got to be done about people being separated here on this earth. But what about people who are going to be separated here after this earth? You may be sitting here this morning and you may be the best mom, the best dad, the best whatever. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, one day in judgment, the rest of your family that has, your children that has come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Bible tells us that there's going to be a separation. They're going to enter into heaven. And you, verse number 46, and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. How is it that we get so concerned about I don't know how any of these families ever get back together. I don't know if they ever do get back together. And again, that's heart-wrenching. But I'm going to tell you, if you are separated at judgment, according to God's word, it will be an eternal separation. There is no hope of you ever getting back together. Now listen, your family that goes on to heaven is not going to have a memory of you. Because it wouldn't be heaven if they could remember that dad's not there. It wouldn't be heaven if they could remember that mom's not there. But I'm going to tell you that if you end up on the wrong end of that and you end up not accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you end up being the separating party, that I believe with all of my heart that while you're in hell, not only are you going to be punished by flames. I know we don't like hellfire and brimstone messages, but I got to give you the truth this morning. And I believe that not only will there be punishment by fire and flames, I believe there'll be the punishment of your memory. I believe there'll be the punishment of, I let my kids down, I let my wife down, I let my family down, because now I'm separated from them. That I let myself down because it was such a free gift, and I chose not to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now here I am in this torment forever, separated for eternity. I believe that in hell that there will be thoughts that cross your mind and you'll remember the times that maybe you were even sitting here in this congregation, that you were sitting here in this building and the Holy Spirit came to your heart and he squeezed you and he let you know that he loved you and that he wooed you and that he wanted you to have a relationship with him, and yet you left here not knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You left here saying, no, God, maybe at another time, but I don't need you today. No, God, I don't need you. And I believe that while people are punished in hell, and I believe that while they're there in hell, that those thoughts will still be in their mind, and they'll still know those times that they told God no. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that there are going to be some separations. I believe that it is my responsibility and your responsibility as Christians, as followers of God. Now listen to me. If you know that your neighbor don't have any food in the cabinet and you know that they don't have the means to go get food in the cabinet, I believe that it is important for us as Christians to be sure that we try to help and supply that need. I believe if you know that your neighbor's power is fixing to be cut off and you're able to help them, I believe it is responsible that as responsible Christians that we should go and help out in that situation. But more than that, if you know or you have an idea that your neighbor does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, your greatest responsibility is to introduce them to the love of Jesus Christ. Your greatest responsibility is to let them know what a difference that God made in your life. What your responsibility is more to know that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins, and because of that, you have the promise of an eternity with him in heaven. It is amazing how we get so concerned about the needs here on this earth, and yet God tells us that everything here is so short-lived. It is so temporal, and yet the eternal, we just take it for granted. We don't think about it until you're sitting at Moody's with someone, or until you're sitting in Hillsville at a funeral home with someone. Those things don't even cross your mind, but I want us to know this morning that there is going to be a separation. There will be families who are separated. But I want to tell you something else that I believe there will be even a greater separation, and we can't comprehend this because we love our families so much. But if we stand before God not knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you're going to have a separation from God and from the presence of God, an eternal separation from that, and that's not something you want to experience. See, while you're here on this earth, and God continues to touch your heart, and God continues to woo you and tell you how much that He loves you, you still feel the presence of God. Now, if you've been in this service today and you haven't felt the presence of God, you probably have been asleep, and the neighbor beside of you needs to punch you and wake you up, because the presence of God is here, and what a wonderful thing it is to be in the presence of God. But I want to tell you that if when we stand in judgment, and if God looks at us and we haven't accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life," and we are sentenced to that everlasting punishment, not only is the punishment of the flames and the fire and the heat, and without being, and I honestly believe that you may have to move in hell. I believe it may be, you may have to carry furniture around in hell. I've been doing that for the last couple of days, and I'm pretty sure that that has been hell. I'm pretty sure. So I believe it's going to be something else you got to do in hell. But as you're there in hell and all this awful stuff is going on, just knowing that you'll never again be in the presence of God. There's no reason for God to speak to you in hell. There's no reason for God to love you in hell. There's no reason for God to woo you in hell. And to be completely away from God's presence forever will make hell even more real. But I want to tell you this morning that there is a solution to your problem. See, you know, as we've seen this week, there have been steps taken to try to solve this problem in our country. There have been steps taken, but you know, none of that is perfect. There's still going to be people who are separated. There's still going to be bad things happen. There's going to be things that happen that is out of anybody's control. But I want to tell you, when it comes to being separated from your family because you've not accepted Jesus Christ, I got one verse for you. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Listen to this word. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Well, preacher, you just don't know what I've done in my past. God don't care. Well, preacher, you just don't know the thoughts that go through my mind. God don't care. Well, preacher, you just don't know my family. You just don't know my friends. I want to tell you something. God don't care. He said, "For whosoever believeth in Him." Well, preacher, I just don't know about that. I want to tell you something. If God says it, you can absolutely count on it. It's true. You quit thinking about it after that. You just believe what God said. He said, "For whosoever believeth in me should not perish but have everlasting life." You want to solve the problem of separation? You want to solve the problem of families being torn apart? I want to tell you something else. Satan is trying his best to tear families apart, but yet we're not too concerned about that. But I'm going to skip that for another message. But I want to tell you something. You want to solve the problem of separation, the eternal separation? You get on your knees somewhere and you recognize how much that God loved you. You recognize how He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that He came and gave His life for you, so that the only thing you had to do is say, "God, forgive me of my sins. I want you to be king of my life." And just like that, the problem of separation is all cleared up. There's no more possibility for separation. Now, as we're here this morning, and I know we don't like hellfire and brimstone, so I want to give you something else. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 35. Preacher, we was having a good service and the Spirit was moving, and then you get up there and preach about separation. Well, let me give you something right here that maybe it'll help you. Because I want to give you something that strengthens me from time to time. Separation is not something that any of us want to think about or go through. I cannot stand the thoughts of being separated from my family. My son is fixing to be, well, he's just turned 15, but he's talking driving, and I think about that all the time, and I'm already praying about it, praying for everybody else on the road and all those kinds of things, and as I think about him driving, it's scary. It just scares me to death. When my little girls, when we're out in public and one of them need to go to the restroom, I always make the other one go, because it's always just been a fear of mine that somebody would pick up one of my girls and take off with them. That's just I can't stand the thoughts of being separated from my family. That's something that's scary. But I want to give you something that God has given us as Christian people. And actually, even lost people can even look at this scripture and they can take it to know that God's going to love them no matter what. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen to this right here. You take this to heart right here, and any time that old devil comes around and he starts saying, I don't know if God really loves you, that wouldn't have happened in your life if God loves you. You messed up. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I mess up from time to time. And when Satan sees that I mess up, he pounces on me and says, there's no way that you love God the way that you say you do if you've done that. And it'll put you to the place where you say, well, maybe you know what? Maybe I don't love God the way that I say that I do. Maybe I need to quit doing what I'm doing. But I want you to listen to this. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, I just want to say this morning, I want to tell my Heavenly Father how much I love him and how much I thank him for Jesus Christ. Because I don't have to fear that separation. I don't have to fear being separated from his love. I don't have to fear being separated from my family. And one day, even though I'm so unworthy, even though I mess up and I sin and I take my salvation for granted, but one day when I stand before God, the Bible tells us it is appointed unto me and wants to die and after this the judgment. One day when I stand in that judgment and I know that I'm guilty of everything, I know that he could sentence me to hell if he wanted to. I know that he could look at me and say, you didn't serve me the best that you could. You continued to sin even after I saved you. You're a sorry scumbag. He could look at me and say that I'm a sorry excuse for a Christian. But I'm glad that when he looks at me, he's not going to see me, but yet he's going to see the blood of his darling son, that he's going to see the blood of Jesus Christ applied to my life. And he's going to look, and even though he might could say that I was hungered and you didn't feed me, I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink, he might could say that to me. But one thing that he can't say to me is that I never accepted Jesus Christ. I'm glad that at the age of 7 that I got it settled that I don't have to be separated from the love of Christ. I got it settled that I don't have to be separated from my family. I got it settled when I was 7 years old that my eternity is secure because of Jesus Christ, because he loved me so much. And all I had to do was say, God, forgive me of my sins. Be king of my life. I want to be one of your children. Man, I want to tell you something. We might not can solve the issue of separation for people coming into our country, but you can solve the issue of being separated from God's children by accepting Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that he made a way for me, and he would have done it just for me. And I'm glad all y'all got it too. But the Bible tells me that he loved me so much, that he would have laid his life down for me. He loves you so much. He wants a relationship with you. I'm glad this morning that because of Jesus Christ, the issue of separation is solved in my life. Look, they can come in here and they can arrest me, and they can take me to jail, and I might be somewhat separated from my family. I could be in a car accident on my way home and be separated from my family. But you know what? Because of the grace of God and because of the love of Jesus Christ, that's a temporal separation. That's not an eternal separation. That's a I'll see you later when we get to the other side. And it is all because of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that promise. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, preacher, I don't know if I stood before God today, I really don't know that I'd go to heaven. You might even be sitting here and say, well, preacher, I remember one time. Now, look, don't let me lose you here. I believe that when Jesus Christ moves into your heart and he forgives you of your sin, I believe that you're saved, and there's nothing that nobody else in this world can do about it. But I also believe that there are people who maybe prayed a little prayer, that had an emotional experience at some point in their life, and they really don't know that they're saved. They may have even been baptized. They may have even been a member of a church at some point in time. But my question to you this morning is not whether you're son, your daughter, your mama, your dad. I don't care who thinks you're saved. What do you and God know? Because God's got a written record. Bible tells me that when I got saved, that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Brother Danny, there's nothing you can do to take it out of there. There's nothing none of y'all can do to take my name out of there. President Trump can sign any executive order he wants to, but he can't take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And this morning, I know that it's there. I know, and you can't talk me out of it. But maybe you're here this morning, and you say, well, preacher, I remember it sometime. Maybe during a Bible school or a Sunday school, I said a little prayer that somebody said in front of me, but I really don't know that I'm saved. Can I encourage you not to take that chance? Can I encourage you that if God is squeezing your heart this morning, you've got any question in your mind, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but this is one thing you need to be absolutely 100% sure about. Can I encourage you to make things right with God today? Well, preacher, I know that I got saved, but I'm not living the life that I should. Preacher, I'm not living with God the way that I should. I don't have that relationship that I should with God. And I know that I have that promise that God's on the inside of me, but I'm sure not doing anything that's pointing others to the cross of Christ. I'm not doing anything to prevent others from being separated. My life is probably actually hindering others from coming to know Jesus Christ. Get things right today. Maybe you're here and you know Jesus Christ. You're doing your very best to fight the flesh. You're doing your very best to walk in the way that God wants, but you just need to come and worship Him and thank Him for the way that He prepared for us. Thank Him for loving you so much that He gave His only Son for you. Hannah's going to sing "Just As I Am" here in just a minute. God will take you just like you are, but also understand that when you die, you're going to stand in front of Him just like you are. As you stand to your feet this morning, you and God know if there's a need in your heart. You and God know if you need to come talk to Him. You and God know if you need to come worship Him. This altar's open. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. Don't let him tell you to wait one more day. You never know what may happen in that day.